Cleveland defeated Chicago 6-0 in the first game of the World Series last night. Yesterday, we glimpsed the Chicago Cubs' last moment of real baseball glory in 1908. As we look in on the story of Cleveland in 1948, when the team last won the series, the city was long past its oil boom days. The Rockefellers had all moved east to dominate energy and finance. The Cleveland left behind was at the center of America's second great wave of prosperity, the war boom.
You had prosperity from the war industries. You had success with the Indians. You had a large population that made it sixth largest in the country, something that was actually a point of pride that they were the sixth city in the U.S. at that point. And it was a time when, you know, there was stores downtown and traffic downtown and people all over the place.
Historian Stephanie Lisio is a doctoral candidate at Case Western Reserve University. She says that Cleveland was one of the first northern industrial cities to face up to America's racial future, and it projected that future through the window of baseball.
In 1947, the Indians were the first team in the American League to integrate. The Dodgers had done so with Jackie Robinson just 11 weeks earlier. That was April 15th of 1947, and the Indians signed Larry Doby on July 5th, 1947. And he didn't play a lot in 1947, but by 1948, he was a regular. And then in 1948, the other big signing was to get Satchel Paige, who was a legendary Negro League pitcher, probably one of the greatest pitchers that ever lived, who at that point was 42, sort of in the twilight of his career.
Satchel Paige and Larry Doby were bona fide stars back in the 40s. The legendary Cleveland Buckeyes Negro League team had its own fans, but the integrated 1948 Indians became the team for all Clevelanders sharing the post-war wealth. Owner Bill Veeck could see that integration was the nation's future.
So you do have more people starting to go. The integrated crowd is drawing a more mixed group of fans, and that was probably by design because Bill Veeck and Branch Rickey both knew that this was an area that could be tapped in to bring in more fans to your team.
When the Indians made it to the series, a whole nation would see a city united and its racial divisions slipping into the past.
So they set attendance records in 48, and so you have these massive crowds of 80,000 people in this gigantic stadium watching the World Series games here in Cleveland.
Around comes the right arm, the pitch, an overhand fastball swung on, hit high and deep in the right center field. The ball is going, it is gone! Larry Doby just teed off for the first home run of the 1948 World Series.
In the locker room, there's a picture that was taken between Larry Doby and that game's starter, Steve Gromek, where they're hugging each other. And that was sort of a huge deal in 1948 to have on the front page of a newspaper a white player and a black player hugging.
The great irony of Cleveland's baseball racial success is that it was built on a race and identity swept away. The Indians' name dates back to 1915, as U.S. Army forces were still engaged in a war with Western tribes. The Indians' mascot, Chief Wahoo, is a cruel and much later caricature of those times.
It was a time where people didn't acknowledge that this isn't probably something that's a good thing. In fact, if you've seen drawings of the original Wahoo, which I think was sketched out in 1946, I think it's later, these questions are, geez, look at this thing. should we really keep this? But it's managed to hang on until now.
Just as the future of the Washington Redskins' name is now a federal court case, these Indians may eventually be on a similar collision course with history. The Cleveland left behind from those days became a junkyard for old dreams, where the thought of winning again seems as silly as the idea of clean air or an economic comeback.
It's sort of shocking when they do well. You know, it's sort of like you don't expect that. I guess you become adjusted to being disappointed.
So that 6-0 win last night was the good kind of shock, just like the NBA champions were this spring. Could Cleveland be title city?
It still sort of blows my mind a little bit, kind of waiting to wake up. Like, this can't be really happening, can it?
Cleveland's baseball dream, with all its irony and history, continues tonight with Game 2.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.